It's like on a daily basis now that norms are being tossed out the window. Like today, for instance, when a U.S. senator was pushed, shoved, thrown to the ground, and handcuffed for trying to ask a question of the Homeland Security Secretary.
If this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community.
And we take a look at this last volatile and dangerous week through the eyes of an ICE agent.
Just so you know, there's great resistance to enforcement, immigration enforcement in Los Angeles. So it's definitely a fact of life.
Welcome to the LA Local for Thursday, June 12th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, who's getting a little tired of these history-making for all the wrong reasons types of days. On today's Local, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says she's liberating L.A. from socialists. And when a sitting U.S. senator tried to question that assertion, he was thrown to the ground and handcuffed. California takes on Trump in court over the National Guard's presence in L.A. And stick around until the end of today's Local for a discussion with a former ICE agent who ran the Los Angeles office. Let's start with Kristi Noem, who came to L.A. to observe ICE operations here and likely get in a few good photo ops. This was the DHS secretary's message for Los Angeles, essentially that ICE is here to stay.
As our law enforcement officers have been assaulted, they've been pelted with rocks and bricks. Their cars have been set on fire. Molotov cocktails have been used. We have seen people throw bottles and hammers at them. We've also seen that they have been attacked and verbally spit on or punched or assaulted, and it's just not acceptable. The Department of Homeland Security and the officers and the agencies and the departments and the military people that are working on this operation will continue to sustain and increase our operations in this city. We are not going away. We are staying here to liberate this city from the socialist and the burdensome leadership that this governor and that this mayor have placed on this country and what they have tried to insert into this city.
Just a small point on the secretary's last point there. It is not the job of the Trump administration or any presidential administration to, heavy air quotes here, liberate an American city of its elected leadership, even if that administration disagrees with the politics of those elected officials, even if the Trump administration believes that LA is run by socialists. Too damn bad. LA elected those socialists. But there you have the Trump perspective. They're liberating us from an imagined threat. Then things get really interesting when California's senior U.S. Senator Alex Padilla identifies himself, attempts to ask the secretary a question. You actually heard it in the end of that last clip, and Noem's security detail converges on the senator.
I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have a question for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your heads off.
How many of our ICE agents have been doxxed for doing their duty?
Padilla was taken to the ground by several federal agents. He was handcuffed with his face to the floor. The senator wasn't technically arrested, and he wasn't charged with anything. He came out of the Westwood Federal Building a short time later, saying he had been asking the Homeland Security Department for information for months without getting any answers. So he figured, I'll go to Noem's news conference and ask her there. Here's a part of Padilla's statement.
If this is how this administration responds to a senator with a question, if this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country. We will hold this administration accountable.
In response to all of this, you can hear a lot of Republicans today talking about decorum, that Senator Padilla did not exercise the proper decorum, that it wasn't the right forum to raise a question for Secretary Kristi Noem. I'm just going to throw this out there and leave it for you all to chew on. In 2009, Republican Congressman Joe Wilson stood up in the middle of the State of the Union address by President Barack Obama and screamed, "You lie." Perhaps you remember that.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Not true.
I must have missed when Wilson was pushed and shoved out of the House of Representatives chamber and placed in handcuffs. Decorum for thee, but not for me. Anyway, onto a court hearing today with huge implications. The state of California is trying to do something rather unprecedented in suing the president of the United States in an effort to force the National Guard troops, and Marines ordered here by Donald Trump out of Los Angeles. Of course, President Trump did something rather unprecedented in the first place when he ignored Governor Newsom and sent the guard troops into LA. So, in the arguments playing out in court, which side has the upper hand? For some clarity on all of this, KNX News talked with Laura Dickinson. She's a professor of national security law at George Washington University. Before that, she was a legal counsel in the Pentagon. She explained California's challenge to federalizing the National Guard.
There are three conditions in the statute, three circumstances, the statute says, under which the president can invoke the statute and federalize the National Guard. One is invasion, one is rebellion, and one is when the president is unable with the regular forces to execute the laws of the United States. With respect to invasion, this is clearly not, what's going on in California is clearly not an invasion. Okay, so what we have are, you know, as I see it from the reporting and as the governor and many others are saying, this is mostly peaceful protest with some violence. So this is not the invasion by a foreign country on U.S. soil.
Dickinson referenced the rebellion standard for a president to federalize the National Guard troops. She says California is arguing that it's ridiculous to call protests and some rioting a rebellion.
I think there's a case to be made, and this is what California is saying, is that it's a pretty high bar for something to constitute a rebellion. And California is saying, yeah, this is clearly not a rebellion. We have mostly peaceful protests, a little bit of violence. State authorities have that well under hand. This is not a rebellion against the United States. The Trump administration is saying that it could constitute a rebellion. They're saying that the threshold for rebellion has been met.
Then there's the third part of the statute, that federal laws are being obstructed here in Los Angeles, necessitating involvement of the National Guard over the objection of a governor.
You might look at that term, execute the laws of the United States, and think that that's a pretty broad term with a pretty low threshold. But it's interesting because some scholars who've done a lot of research into what that meaning, the meaning of that term was in at the early moment in our history and throughout our history, is that it's actually a pretty high bar. It means something akin to treason against the United States. So there's also a debate about whether the threshold for that is met here.
Then there's the question about whether President Trump was acting in good faith when he ordered the National Guard into downtown LA in the first place.
I think that's at the crux of litigation and how much deference do you give the president because he's the president. And I think one thing that I think is notable from those earlier cases that involved a different statute, the Insurrection Act, where the courts did defer to the president's interpretation. The president's interpretation there was, you know, reasonable and in good faith. And so if the president is not acting in what seems to be good faith, perhaps there could be some kind of argument that that maybe less deference is owed. But, you know, this is difficult terrain because, again, courts have traditionally deferred to the president in a lot of national security contexts.
She expects the case to move very quickly through the appeals process and eventually onto the U.S. Supreme Court. And here's why it's important it moves quickly. You've got a scenario on Saturday where there's a potential of several hundred thousand protesters marching through downtown Los Angeles, squaring off against National Guard troops and Marines. Better figure out their role pretty quickly. Let's take a quick break here to get some business out of the way. And when we return, what does this last week of high-tension immigration raids look like from the vantage point of the ICE agents carrying them out? We'll get some insights next. It's the LA Local. Thanks for sticking with us on the LA Local. I'm your tired host, Jonathan Service. Suffice it to say, ICE agents are probably not the most popular group of guys in Southern California these days. And since we aren't hearing much from the masked up, heavily armed agents doing immigration enforcement, we wanted to see the last week of events through their eyes. So I called up Claude Arnold, who formerly served as the special agent in charge of Homeland Security investigations here in Los Angeles. He started out talking about the increasing number of threats towards ICE agents and their families. Your thoughts of the men and women carrying out the immigration enforcement actions over the last couple of weeks under what are extremely stressful and tense and dangerous circumstances. Your thoughts on watching them, you know, do their job, carry out the orders that are handed down to them.
Well, you know, it's tough. I mean, I remember when I was a young agent with the INS, and I was an intern, and I was considering different locations where I might get a permanent assignment, you know, when I became an agent. And I spoke to people who had served in Los Angeles. So this is back in the late 80s. And I was told, just so you know, there's great resistance to enforcement, immigration enforcement in Los Angeles. You know, that's in the late 80s. So it's definitely a fact of life. But regardless, you know, they are enforcing the law that's on the books. And, you know, what people... You know, I hear a lot of political rhetoric saying, you know, unconstitutional, this, that. And no, I mean, they are enforcing the existing law and, you know, arresting very dangerous people, criminals. So, you know, obviously, I don't understand the sentiment, but it doesn't matter what law enforcement officer or agency it is. It's never okay to obstruct them or assault them. And so I think that in that regard, it's being handled properly by all law enforcement to hold those people accountable.
Your thoughts on the criticisms of some of the tactics that are being used? And specifically, it's the face mask, the covering of their face, the fact that there's a lot of ICE agents now are not showing ID. They're coming in without uniforms, and they're coming in very heavily armed. That seems to be the... I think like the top complaints of a lot of activist groups that the ICE agents come across as very antagonistic. Your thoughts?
Well, stop confronting them with Molotov cocktails and they won't have to have armored vehicles. And, you know, it's an escalation of force that is required. You know, any law enforcement agency follows pretty much the same continuum of the escalation of force. So if someone brings a knife, you bring a gun.
And the face coverings and the fact that a lot of agents are now not showing ID, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, there's never necessarily a requirement to show ID. You're not going to stop in the middle of arresting a bad guy and you know, say, okay, hold on, let me reach into my pocket and get my ID and make myself vulnerable to a threat, right? It makes no sense tactically. As far as covering the face, well, that's something that federal agents from all agencies have always done, right? Particularly those, you know, I'm speaking from HSI perspective. They're criminal investigators. They do undercover work. Now, as far as the other ones who don't have a criminal investigative role and who wouldn't be doing undercover work, they're doing it because they're being doxxed. And, you know, these people are finding their houses. They're staking out their houses, protesting at their houses. It endangers their family and kids. You know, I don't blame them.
Are these agents that they tend to, I'm assuming you join Homeland Security, ICE, and Border Patrol because you believe in the mission. And getting shouted at and characterized and vilified, how it hits these guys personally? You know, do they not really care about the criticism? Does it get to them eventually? From your days when you were active duty?
Sure. Well, it gets to you in the regard that I think it makes you angry. But, you know, law enforcement officers are generally pretty thick skinned. You know, they get shot at, people fight them. they're dealing with bad guys. So they don't get their feelings hurt easily, right? They're not snowflakes. So I don't think they really care about that. But what they do care about is their safety and the safety of their families. So, you know, when that's threatened, that's not fun.
There are arguments and truly impassioned and I think authentic and genuine arguments coming from community groups here in L.A., where it's like many of the people being rounded up have no criminal histories. In fact, I mean, if you buy the stats even coming out of the DOJ, the majority of people so far, just in the last week of raids here in L.A., don't have criminal backgrounds as opposed to immigration ordinance violations. And they're saying that there's a lot of community members who have lived here, yes, as illegal immigrants, but have paid taxes, bought homes, started businesses, raised families, been in Southern California, living, contributing to the culture and the society here for decades, in many cases. And they're being sent back to places that they haven't called home in forever. And so, yes, while by the letter of the law, they're here illegally, you know, they also throw out the fact that U.S. has had a really broken immigration system for generations, and you've got ample employers who are willing and able and ready to hire these illegal immigrants, and they perform actually quite vital backbones of the economic productivity of Southern California. So then, like, that's kind of where a lot of the anger and indignation of, especially ICE, when they come into a neighborhood like Compton, you know, very heavily armed, and a lot of those types of people are getting rounded up. Your reaction?
No law enforcement officer goes into Compton not heavily armed. It's Compton. Yeah,
and so I guess that's part of it too.
Like,
is there a way to do it?
That's a ridiculous argument.
Is there a way to do it though? That's not as confrontational. I mean, like, is there a way to do it? You have to know that you're going to.
There is.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is. It's called the Criminal Alien Program, which has been frustrated by the state of California and the Values Act and the Trust Act. So California has enacted laws that specifically and purposefully obstruct and impede ICE from taking custody of criminal aliens at jails and prisons.
Is there a grand bargain, a deal to be made between California and the federal government and DHS? Like, we give you access to the jails to come get the illegal immigrants who are in there for some truly bad things, and in exchange, stop carrying out raids into neighborhoods. Is that viable? I mean, again, there's a letter of the law.
I don't know if there's a bargain,
but yeah,
I think practically, logistically, it would stop. But you know, the federal government is never going to abdicate their responsibility. You know, depending on the administration, they're not going to abdicate their authority or responsibility to enforce immigration laws. So they're never going to say, oh, if someone's here illegally, they're here illegally. Now, they're not going to prioritize those people, you know, the people you're talking about who have been here for decades, whatever. But they're never going to say, we will not arrest someone who's here illegally. That's not going to happen. Certainly, it's not going to happen with this administration.
Maybe it will do all of us some good to remember that there are human beings at work and in play here. Whether it's the ICE agents carrying out these raids or immigrants they're arresting, the overwhelming majority of which have been in the United States living and working peacefully for years. Whether ICE or immigrant, it's someone's son, someone's daughter, someone's dad, someone's mom. I don't know how the temperature can be lowered or whether it can be at this point, but can we at least remember that at the end of the day, we all bleed red and we're all in it together? Maybe that's too much to ask. This has been the LA Local for Thursday, June 12th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Be good to one another. Stay safe out there. See you tomorrow.